Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We have to say the obligatory sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org as well as republicreview.org. You are, as you know, you are listening to the only show, because I like saying this, because I like being right. This is the only show that asserts the only process that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution and get them out of doing all the things that they have no authority to do per the Constitution. In other words, all those things are going to come back to the states if you really want to solve this problem. And I hope you do, because if we don't, we are going to go off the cliff, because we're designed to do that. And that's why we've really violated the Constitution to where we are susceptible to Alexander Teitler's cycle of democracy, where over a period of 200 years, the people will finally get to a point where they've robbed the public purse to a point where we collapse. We go bankrupt and all of our creditors will come due. And guess what? Some of them aren't very nice and some of them don't like your liberties. And so most of them will all be happy to see you become subjected to a totalitarian and or this new world order, if you want to call it that, whatever that global governance is, because that's been the plan for a long, long time. It's been the design. There was no room in our Constitution to try to create and become a part of the League of Nations, the United Nations, this globalist kind of governance. And as a matter of fact, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s when the UN actually set up a committee of global governance and was trying to literally move forward in morphing all the nations. But I digress. Let me let you at least know this. We're literally in the final stretch, and I ask that, and of course I'm asking, that you at least try to support those candidates on the candidate endorsement page on Reclaiming the Republic. I've got five candidates there that are still in the heat. Taylor Haynes, who is running for governor in Wyoming. And I've got four other candidates on the candidate endorsement page. Those are state legislators, and those are the Thomas Jeffersons and James Madisons, who are going to do exactly what Jefferson and Madison did in 1798. But this time we're actually going to win. This time we're actually going to be able to succeed, because the government has gotten, I mean, there's very few people that won't acknowledge that the government is way out of control. And though there's too many, unfortunately, that acknowledge that it's out of control, but they like that because they actually are looking forward to the collapse of our Constitution and or our Constitutional Republic. So with that, as I always say, just so you understand, this show is dedicated to those who are willing to stand up against federal tyranny, which are the state legislators. The only people that can save America and get it off the course that it is on are those men and women that are state legislators. There's 5,445 of them throughout the states, throughout this republic. And they have the authority to literally call out the federal government for violating their constitution, because the constitution is a contract written for and by the states. And if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on my homepage, you will be able to read the academic arguments that actually step up and establish the argument, and it's irrefutable. Nobody's been able to refute this, that the states can literally reel in the federal government via an audit process, which is what we call Republic Review. It's an audit when one state does it, but when we get multiple states coming on board, then we actually have a Republic Review, because that's when the Republic is starting to exercise a collective authority over the federal government. So a part of those people that are really critical in getting on board with this, this is also the grassroots leaders, and we need to take back the party. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the party today and why it is important that we put the party back into context of what it needs to be instead of allowing the national committee or the national party center, the RNC or the DNC, more specifically the RNC, the DNC, I just think they're lost. They were lost out the gate with Van Buren and Andrews, or not Andrews, Andrew Jackson, my bad. Anyway, when they came out the gate, they were literally already calling for the gag order on slavery. They were huge proponents for supporting the slave states in creating the Missouri Compromise and so forth. I mean, the Democratic Party is the slave party, and their new innovation on slavery is communism. They want to institute slavery to the state, and they have been doing that. Look at how many poor people are trapped, and they're poor because they have allowed themselves to become dependent instead of seeking self-dependence or self-reliance, I should say. So anyway, what we need to do is help educate in taking back the party and help educate those committee chairs and committee members at the executive committee and down into the PCOs and getting them centered back on the Constitution. But like I said, we're going to get into that a little bit later. But the whole point here is that this show is dedicated to those folks down at the grassroots level, as well as those who are fighting to get into the state legislature to represent not just their constituents, but all of the republic who loves the Constitution and who wants to see the federal government get back into control and get the republic, or get the republic back on track in restoring our constitutional republic that the framers put us on track to do. And so with that, let me just go ahead and move forward to my typical, as where I state that I need some help, and this is the groveling part. I don't mind groveling. It's not bad when you're actually trying to share blessings. I don't know if you look at people that, you know, are on top or have the control over something, and they're the ones that maintain that control. This is not this effort here. What I'm trying to do is actually move this out. As a matter of fact, my best metaphor or my best way to describe this is just like our government's design. Jefferson described our government's design as distributive. It was allowing the power and the decisions and the flow of power to move outward to the local governments, out to the states and out to the counties and so forth. And in doing that, it allowed the people to have the closest control to their government. They realized that when you're far removed from the seat of government, such as D.C., your chances of being able to influence and have any type of voice and representation, it just gets marginalized big time. And so they created an outward flowing or a centrifugal force of political energy. And what the left is trying to do is they're trying to create a collectivist force and centralizing power and bringing power into D.C. so that they can control how much water your toilet uses to flush, and how much your shower heads are getting you wet, and so forth. And I do not believe that that is the design, and I will tell you that that is the antithesis of our government. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get and share with you the opportunity to lead and receive blessings, because I can tell you that I have truly been blessed since this whole process has started. I can't tell you that I'm not in this place because I have, you know, scratched and struggled. I can't tell you that it has been a cakewalk for me. It's not. But I will tell you that I have been richly blessed in being able to get to this point and being able to articulate and help teach and inspire others in getting on board. So with that, if you're very interested in having that opportunity of growth, that opportunity of being blessed and blessing others, then there you go. Just send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will be happy to share those blessings with you as you start helping and contributing. And bottom line, you don't have to have much. I mean, next week I will stop asking you to send money to the candidates, because then, you know, the primaries, it's a slam dunk after the primaries. There's very few people that have committed that really have a struggle once they have won their primary. So, you know, next week I will basically say, if you want to contribute and you want to send me money, and hopefully by that time I'll at least have that GoFundMe account ready, and or I should say campaign up and ready. But if you can, and I'll get back to that one more time, if you can, please support those candidates on my candidate endorsement page. I told you yesterday I'm going to be publishing a article, and I will be putting it on the Mobius Strip Press page on Facebook tomorrow, on the importance of what you need to know and why and how you need to start voting. But more importantly, how you need to start expressing your representation. We can no longer afford to have a multifaceted demand of our elected officials. We need to be very succinct with them so that they understand that the one thing we want is compliance out of that federal government. Well, I'm at a hard break, so please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so one of the things I didn't get a chance to do, and I really wanted to do a follow-up, but it just seems like you can't get any time out of some of these candidates. They're too bogged down with their campaign strategies, you know, fighting and literally fighting to get an edge or to move up in the polls or what have you. But my intent was to try to get an interview with the candidates after I had exposed them to Republic Review. I will tell you, as I've been telling you, that I have really, really, really reached out to Harriet Hageman because I've been told by a lot of folks that she was very constitutionally wired. Well, I kind of explained to her Republic Review, gave her all the content, gave it to her press, campaign chair or campaign leader, and I can't get a peep out of them. It's just like nothing. And my last conversation was, well, I will get a hold of her. I don't have any faith in that. And as a matter of fact, I look at it this way, folks. If you're a leader and somebody comes along to you and says, hey, especially if you're a leader that says, you know, the federal government's way out of control, and I come along and say, I have the process of getting the federal government back in control. And it's not like it's just a kind of a spam email that goes into their email account. This is a, you know, face-to-face, or actually, you know, a mouth-to-ear on the telephone talking to each candidate and explaining them this process, that the Constitution is a contract, that the inherent in contract law, the stakeholders, those who are the owners of the contract, have the authority to audit their contract. And so I walk right through this argument, those bullets that you see right there on the reclaimingtherepublic.org homepage, go through them. I fly through those really quick, and I basically say, I'm going to send you the same content. I want you to, you know, kind of get your head around this and come back and tell me whether you'll support this or not. Well, the one candidate, like I said, actually the second candidate has been pretty wise. It's the Constitutional Party candidate, or the independent, or whatever, Rex Rammel. He basically says, well, I'm going to wait until the primary's over, then I'll figure out whether I'm going to sign that or not. And I'm going, oh, okay, that's interesting. In other words, I need to have some leverage over him to get him to sign. And that's very typical. That's what unfortunately has to happen in some cases. But I truly believe, and my desire, I had a good long conversation with a state committeeman from Wyoming, and from one of the counties in Wyoming last night. And in talking to him, I said, you know, as anybody, just like a lobbyist wants to hedge their bets and they want to get behind each of the candidates and support each of them so that they can get something out of that. Well, I'm not trying to get anything out of it. I'm just trying to get all the candidates to actually come on board by signing these pledges, because this isn't the GR's going to win. This is the U.S., you, the Republic, you're going to win. So this isn't about me. This isn't about GR getting his pledges signed so that I get more money. There's no money in this for me. This is literally the only way we're going to get to where we need to be in saving the Constitution. And so I was explaining to the state committeeman that, you know, it is my intent. I would love to, because the conversation was, well, you got one person. Why don't you have this other person? I go, I'd love to. You know, I'd love to have both sides of an opponent or of a contest actually signing, because then I have a guarantee that I'm going to have one person for that legislative district that is going to support, and they're on the hook in supporting the Republic Review and calling for an audit. Who wouldn't want to hedge their bet? It's called hedging your bet, right? Who doesn't want to be able to go in and have a guarantee that what you need happen will actually happen? So anyway, it is my desire to have every candidate do that. And the best way in doing that is getting you, the electorate, to start demanding that people start signing these pledges. That if you want our vote, you need to sign this pledge because we want compliance. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying right before the break. We have to be very succinct with our message. If you've watched that video, and if you haven't seen the video, you really need to. Go to the Take Action page on Reclaiming the Republic. Scroll down. I have a couple of PDF files there. And those files are the slideshows of that presentation that I give. And right underneath those is the link to the YouTube page that will actually show you my 30-minute presentation. Actually, I think it's the hour and a half presentation there. Just watch the first 30 minutes. And within the first 5 minutes, I have a slide that has this big, huge monster with all these arms. One of the arms is Common Core, or if you want to just consider the national education system as a violation, okay, there's that one arm. Another one could be abortion. Another one can be immigration. Another one can be energy. Another one can be health care, you know, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. All of these things that the federal government has assumed, these are all roles, responsibilities, and powers they are inflicting upon us. And so a lot of people, you know, they love to just jump on and start wrestling that arm of abortion. Well, we got to stop this. We got to, this is evil. We've got to arrest this thing. My friends, if you do that, you will never win. You have to take on the beast. You cannot go after the distraction, because I call these things distractions. That's why we have to focus. And instead of worrying about what's going on with the Mueller trial, instead of, you know, fortunately, we have time. We have a little bit of time until Trump is, this first administration is over. We got to pray and hope that we get four more years out of Trump, because then we'll actually have a guarantee of four more years to getting the states to finally wake up and step in. Because Trump is not going to be able to be president the third term. And whoever falls in behind him will be able to undo everything that Trump has done. And a great example of that is the EPA. When Pruitt left the EPA when he resigned, then what ended up happening? The internal subdirector that was, you know, the second man or whoever that took his place reinstituted all of those bad policies that are Obama era type policies. Why? Because they truly believe in saddling us with regulations to destroy us. The EPA is a huge unconstitutional bureaucracy. It needs to go. But unfortunately, Trump is not going to do that. And if he tried to, I'll bet you anything, there would be a lot of fighting between Congress and him. And so we need to resolve that fighting. We need to step up as states and step in and force these things to get dismantled, decommissioned. And so when you look through that model, and I know it's not an animated model that can be entertaining, but if you look at that model, and you can actually get that model on the Take Action page as well, as or at the very bottom of the homepage, I have links to it right there. Go look at that model and you can see how everything will be parsed through. And if it is unconstitutional and does not serve the states, or if the states feel that it is not providing the services that really benefit the states. And so a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, the Department of Energy, that kind of makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. The reason the Department of Energy will never make sense is because the federal government is making regulations and policies that benefit the elite and the corporate world, and that does nothing to support and provide a true strategy for the next 20 years of moving us off of these wealth transfers. Because if you look at this, let me ask you this. How much do you spend on energy? How much do you spend on your car for fuel? How much do you spend on your house for electricity? And how much do you spend for gas, natural gas, all the different forms of energy that you consume on a monthly basis? And the sad story is that you're paying probably three or the fourth, maybe even the second highest expenditure out of your income goes on energy consumption. And that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. That is a huge wealth transfer. Let me ask you this. You've got internet, you've got TV services, you've got telephone, you've got all sorts of technology coming in off of a wire. And I'll bet you just pay a subscription for that. And you may pay for bandwidth, you know, like if you have, if you step up for a higher internet and greater services or what have you, you pay a little more, but it's still a standard prescription. They don't charge you by, you know, hey, you watch TV every day, every hour. Your TV was on, so we're going to charge you more. Why is it that we pay more money for every kilowatt that we consume each month? Why? because a long time ago they created the model and we bought into it instead of us having subscriptions. And the reason they get away with this is because there's no such thing as competition in electricity. There's no such thing. There is kind of competition on gas, but you know, as much as we don't like collusion, we've been allowing collusion by OPEC and the rest of the energy producers in setting prices. How American is that? I have to laugh at this. We've been allowing OPEC to continually dictate what the price of fuel is on based on what they pump. We don't let monopolies and oligarchies rule. But for some reason, we've had to allow that because they're not underneath our control. Well, there are ways of fixing that, folks. And actually, I have strategies in doing that, and I'm inducing that into Wyoming. And so hopefully when we get into Wyoming and actually get these discussions started, these things will start bearing fruit. I guarantee it. And so we're at a hard break, so I'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And I didn't mention, did I? Because I try to do this every day, that as I scanned the news today, I did not find the federal government, the president, Congress, or even the Supreme Court saying, hey, we need to get rid of some of these tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers and give these things back to the states. Did you notice that today? I didn't notice that. And those bottom line, the only way that the states and we are going to get the federal government back in compliance to the Constitution is by us asserting and forcing the states, those state legislators, to do their job, to do what Madison and Jefferson did in 1798 and call for an audit. And so what I want to do at this point is, how many people, if you have ever heard of Arlo Guthrie Jr., he wrote a song, and I want to say this was like late 60s, early 70s. It was called Alice's Restaurant. And it's a comedy. It's kind of funny. But one of the things he, you know, asked the people to do is to call up, you know, or walk into a recruiter's office and just basically sing one bar, you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant, and then walk out. And so, you know, he did this at the very end of the story. And if you haven't heard it, it's funny. It's worth listening to. I always get a good chuckle out of it. But what I'm going to suggest is if you'd like to elevate the attention, then there's all sorts of, because I'm a backbencher by definition, but there's all sorts of front benchers well in front of me that you could actually call up instead of, just tuning them out. One of the things you can do in bringing it to their attention is call up, like Dennis Prager, call up Kate Daly, call up Buck Sexton, or maybe you want to call up, Glenn Beck, or call up Michael Savage, or even Mark Levin or Sean Hannity, whoever. Call up who you really like and ask them, what do you think about Republic Review? And they'll go, oh, I don't know. And then if you want to explain it to them, that'd be great, because maybe that's how that message will get through. Because if they start looking at it, and if you actually start asserting this, not only just the constitutionality of this, but the necessity, if you start asserting the necessity, as you start looking at how bad the deep state really is, do we really need the FBI? Do we really need all of these bureaucracies that have become thugs, that, the BLM, so forth and so on? And so what we need to do is we need to start spreading the word. And that's one way you can help. Maybe you don't even have to spend a lot of time in actually working to support the cause. One of the things you can do is do that Alice's Restaurant thing. Call somebody up and say, hey, instead of singing the bar of Alice's Restaurant, you can say, have you ever heard of Republic Review? And then let them start scoffing. But it's easy to scoff until you've actually looked and examined. And I'm telling you, there's not one of those hosts that can refute what I am saying. And the way I know this for a fact is if you read the argument, my bullets on the argument, and if you read the bullets on the description on the homepage right there on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you look at the model, then you go and read Thomas Jefferson's Kentucky Resolution. And as you read that, Republic Review will literally jump out, because that is exactly what Jefferson is doing. Jefferson is auditing the Constitution, calling out the federal government where they're violating it. He also talks about the limitations of the government. He also talks about the authority of the states. And he also, later on in Resolution 8, clearly starts talking about the need for the states to coalesce by setting up committees of correspondence in working together so that they can literally force the federal government into compliance. There were a few things that he didn't say, and what they never did was they didn't write out what they were doing right there. The only person that has been able to extrapolate this process, and tell me if you don't agree with me, go read the Kentucky Resolution and tell me that they're not auditing, and you tell me that they're not calling for an audit with the fellow states. That's Republic Review, my friends, in calling out the federal government and saying, hey, where in this contract, where in the Constitution did we give you the power and delegate to you the authority to manage and dictate energy policies? We didn't. What about education? We didn't. What about labor? Where did we give you the authority to dictate labor? We didn't. All of these things are usurpations, my friends. And if you like the way we're going in all of these controls, and if you like the I'll go on a little tangent here. I know that the Pauls, both Ron and Rand Paul, have been beating their chest on having the federal government audit the Fed. That's a huge mistake. Why? Because the federal government will only give it credibility. The Fed is unconstitutional. The entity that should be auditing would be the states auditing the federal government, saying, where did we give you the authority to create this Fed? You want to get rid of the Fed? You want to fix our finances? You want to fix these problems? audit the federal government by using the Constitution as the measure. It is that simple. So if you want to figure out some, you know, cheesy way of calling up somebody and singing on the online in front of their listening audience, you know, like you can get anything you want from Alice's Restaurant, but instead of, hey, what do you know about Republic Review? And if they don't know anything, then you can point them to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and then they can start diving in. It's that simple. I believe that those who have honest integrity and honest character will look at that and go, oh my gosh, I wish I would have thought of this. That's probably what they would say. But instead, they didn't think of this. And so hopefully they have the integrity of saying, you know what, this is what we need to do. We can get behind this. And it would be that simple. So let me ask you this, though. Who was it that said this? This is a Federalist paper, and so you've got a choice of three. Actually, you really only have a choice of two, because Hamilton and Madison were the ones that wrote most of these things. So you probably have a higher likelihood, if you just stuck between those two, of who said this. But this is the quote I have for you. In the first place, it is to be remembered that the general government is not charged with the whole power of making and administering laws. Its jurisdiction is limited to the enumerated objects which concern all the members of the Republic, but which are not to be attained by the separate provisions of any. In other words, these are the things that were delegated in those enumerated powers, and that is it. So that's the limitation of their jurisdiction. Who said that? If you know, just let me know. You can call in and say, hey, it was Umpty Frats. There you go. How about that? So one of the things I did notice, and I'm sorry for getting into the kind of the news and events today, but if you hadn't heard of the Democratic nominee for Vermont, Christine Hallquist, apparently she's a transgender and she supports all of these socialist programs. And she goes, I quote, I am not even sure I even know what socialism is, close quote. But in her candidacy, she supported Medicare for all, and raising the minimum wage to a living wage, and her candidacy was backed by the same progressive groups that supported Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I'm telling you, these are radicals, and here's somebody that is telling you they don't even know what socialism is. This is pathetic. They have to be lying if they don't understand statism, or they have to truly believe in the Communist Manifesto and basically say, I don't know what that is. But to me, that is the doctrine of Takiya, where they lie and use deceit and so forth, because America is based upon individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And here is somebody that is basically looking to conscript you into compulsion and into compliance to whatever they want to dictate. Now, my friends, this is 180 the way it was supposed to be. The people and the entity that is supposed to be complying is the federal government. They're supposed to be complying to the enumerated powers and staying within those things, and that's all they're supposed to do. The Constitution was designed to constrain the federal government. And again, I'm going to say that the reason we're in this space, the reason we have this problem, has more to do with the Bill of Rights than we have anything else. Because had they not passed the Bill of Rights, I truly believe that the states would have maintained a big separation of, hold it, you know, this is all you can do. You can't do anything else. Don't worry about, you know, what's going on in the religious space. Well, don't worry what's going on in marriage. Don't worry what's going on in education, healthcare. That is not an enumerated power. Don't worry about labor. Don't worry about commerce. Your job in commerce is only when we have state-to-state disputes or international types of disputes with commerce. That's your job. You're outward-facing. We will take care of the domestic matters ourselves because we're more than competent in doing that. And They are, folks. The states are far more competent in doing those things. Well, we're at a hard break, so we will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And I'm not sure if you heard, but the least relevant part of Congress, the Senate today, unanimously passed a resolution that affirms that the press is not the enemy of the people. Though President Trump has repeatedly declared that fake news and the media is the enemy of the people. And so, as you understand, that this is just grandstanding by these, like I said, the most irrelevant side of Congress. And that's just due to the fact that they are no longer doing what they're supposed to be doing. They want to be representatives of the people when the Senate is supposed to be representatives of the state. And so they've wasted our tax dollars in coming out with a stupid resolution that says that the news is not the enemy of the people, when in fact the news and the media, the entertainment industry, and our education system are all the enemy of the people. It is the secular national church that I write about in my first book that they have established underneath our nose. They didn't have to create a building for this church. They didn't have to create a pontiff. They didn't have to create any structure, because the government itself is the entity itself. Milton Friedman made this supposition in his book, Free to Choose. I would ask that you go read that. And in that book, he talks about education, and he makes a short little quip that the federal government is already violating, through the education system, they are already violating the Establishment Clause, because they are dictating doctrine, which is religious doctrine. And when I say it's religious doctrine, it is because they are teaching doctrine that actually opposes religious doctrine. So what do you call that? When it opposes something, if it's opposing a political ideology, then it's political. If it's opposing a religious ideology, then it is religious, period. And so secularism is a religion. They've actually established it, and they're getting your kids and our kids to actually embrace secularism and their ideology that we don't need liberties. That's why these stupid dolts that are coming out of our education system are literally foaming at the mouth, trying to get themselves into the position where they can vote away our liberties. You know, like these marches on life. We don't want Second Amendment. We don't need guns. The state will protect us. Are you kidding me? That's how stupid these kids are. They have no idea that it is the Second Amendment that secures all the rest of our liberties and freedoms. And how many framers have said that? Plenty. Well, anyway, getting into the party, because I told you I was going to get into it, and obviously this is news at 11 or film at 11. What we have to do to really take the party over is we have to start changing the structure. So each state needs to literally change their structure from a top down, from the RNC down to the county. Basically, they need to sever their relationship or their ties to the RNC. I don't know what purpose the RNC has, because at this point, they have become a part of the establishment and they have become a part of the problem. The states need to literally do a wholesale cleanup of their organization. And what they need to do is they need to create two platforms. The RNC, or not RNC, the State Committee for the Republican Party in each state, the GOP in each state, has to have two platforms. Why? Because a single platform does not suffice when you have two disparate or two separations of roles, responsibilities, and powers. If you look at every state's platform, it includes education. If you look at every state's platform, it includes defense. Well, one of those is a national issue and the other one is a state issue. So what you have to do is you have to start separating those issues that are national, and you place those into your national platform, that the federal government should be doing these things. And at the very top of your national platform, you basically put one little qualifier, just like I read, that the federal government's jurisdiction are limited to the enumerated powers within the Constitution. And so what you're really doing, in essence, is you're centering the GOP or the Republican Party back onto the Constitution. I will tell you, if the Republicans or the GOP literally center themselves on the Constitution, then you'll find that the Constitution Party and even libertarians will start coming back, and they will start merging and uniting underneath the Republican tent again. And that tent has to be a single tent. It can no longer accept factions. It kills me, and I've gone on this before. You cannot have little tents inside your tent. In other words, you can't have the log cabin Republicans. You can't have black Republicans. You can't have the women Republicans, youth Republicans. Those are demographics that are designed to be divisive because they're there to promote a very specific thing. Republicans should be inclusive of all things, everybody's individual rights and individual immunities and individual privileges and individual sovereignty. And in doing this, you will find that everybody will have equal access and equal opportunity, especially if those are your bylaws, those are your, it's your platform, and that you hold to that, that the leaders actually live, breathe, and speak these things. That's what it takes. It takes leaders to doing this. But back to the two platforms, you have to separate them so that there is no confusion that education belongs on that state platform, and you start separating why, you know, the state has these controls and this is going to be the curriculum and we need to move back towards these things. Now you can actually start injecting. We want to bring back prayer in schools. We no longer recognize the federal government's jurisdiction on education because it is not an enumerated power to the federal government. Let the Supreme Court
try to argue that again and show, have them show us, have them put in, you know, right in front of our face in the Constitution where that power has been enumerated or where we've delegated to them the ability to do this. And they'll say, well, no, we just created this act because it was, no. You can't do that. You'd have to amend the Constitution that requires us, the states, to grant you that authority. And that's why, my friends, the ratification debates are so important. And that's why I went through them before, and I will probably have to go through them again. And I probably will, starting in September, because coming up in September, we're just about a month away, and we will be celebrating the Constitution. So tomorrow is actually the one-month mark, because September 17th is the day of the Constitution, right? That's when they signed the Constitution and promulgated it out to the 13 states. So anyway, the other thing that the party has to do is they have to start taking control of those who are stepping in to run. They have to start endorsing and literally getting in front of candidates and saying, sorry, you can't run anymore. You're no longer, you can say you prefer to be a Republican, but you will not get our endorsement and you will not be supported by us, period. We need to take control, and we need to get rid of those McCains and those people that claim to be Republican in name only, but they could do everything contrary to what our platform and what our values are. And so what you need to do is you create expectations that if they're not supporting the platform, if they're not supporting the Constitution, and you literally lay it out in expectations and how they violate those things and say, sorry, you know, you score way too low to even be considered even a moderate Republican. I mean, and we don't even recognize moderate Republicans anymore. We only recognize constitutional Republicans. That's how we have to take the party back. The other thing that I believe is really, really critical is that the states need to get permanent access for everybody within the counties and the central committees to be able to go into either a LexisNexis type of an account or a similar type of background check. This way, when the county is looking at their candidates, they can actually do searches and find out, is there criminal history on this person? Oh, this person's had domestic violence. Why would we want that person to represent us, especially in a lower position? That's how we keep the ranks clean. And then we also use that database to run against, to, you know, do research against those candidates coming up. And so we figure out, oh, okay, this guy's got a drug problem or alcoholic problem or what have you, or a very sordid past. And when it comes time, because this is what the progressives do all the time, when do they drop the bomb on the candidate that's running? Oh, this guy's got these violations. This guy's, you know, got a drinking problem or beat his wife. You do that right before the election. And I was really surprised that congressman in Minnesota, what's his name, Ellis or whatever, I can't believe that he was able to move forward. But again, you've got to understand that there is no integrity and, you know, character requirements for the Democratic Party. What they want is they want the worst to move forward. And so they love that stuff. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. I will be back tomorrow. So God bless, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution.
Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.